Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
On News Talk.
Would you fancy being in a relationship with an AI chatbot? Well, it turns out 10% of Irish adults in Ireland have actually had a romantic relationship with an AI chatbot in the last 12 months. And this is research carried out on behalf of the broadband and telecoms provider Pure Telecom. They surveyed 1,000 people across the country as part of this research. And Jess Kelly, our News Talk's tech correspondent, is with me in studio today. 10%.
That figure shocked me. Now,
I nearly fell to the floor this morning when I read this.
But the bit that shocked me was the romantic relationship side of things. I would fully believe, and I'll tell you something in a second, that people have not necessarily relationships, but almost friendships with these platforms. And I'll tell you why. So for the last 2 and a bit years, we've been talking about the likes of ChatGPT, Microsoft's Copilot, Google's Gemini and others. And they're large language models. And what makes these different is that they can converse in a very human way. No more than myself and yourself text. You remember what I was talking about yesterday. Mm. So if I say, geez, I'm still wrecked after yesterday, you know that's because I was at the gym yesterday and I'm tired and whatever. You remember the context.
Yeah, yeah.
These platforms, if you use them on an ongoing basis, remember the context of your conversations. They learn to understand and give you what you need in terms of advice, attention, telling you're the best girlie and all the rest. And so I can kind of see it. Now, the romantic side of things...
This is just so frightening. Like,
well, no, the romantic side of things is wild to me. But I'll be completely honest. There's been a few situations in my life in the last few months where I'm kind of... I look at everything like a chessboard in my life. And I like to figure stuff out. And I usually do that with a pen and paper. But in recent times, I've taken to these platforms and I said, look, this is a situation. What do I do?
Yeah.
And it'll gameplay it out with you. And you can have a conversation and you can say, well, look, what happens if this happens? Now, I don't go and action everything it says. And there's always this reminder and I feel obliged to say, don't tell any of these platforms anything personal or anything sensitive, anything that could be misused or abused. And also, they're not infallible. They can get things wrong. But in terms of game playing situations, they're very useful. And I also think it's very reflective of the fact that we have generations, it's not just one generation, generations of people who don't feel comfortable talking on the phone. They don't feel comfortable engaging with friends. They're so savvy and very comfortable talking by text.
Just in terms of the age groups of the, and just like, it's not just that 20% of the people surveyed said they believe that romantic relationships with AI chatbots would be less complicated than the human ones, but it's that 10% of the Irish population have already had a romantic relationship with an AI chatbot in the last year. And the figure was highest amongst those aged 25 to 34, which maybe isn't a major surprise. More men than women have had these relationships as well. It's 13 to 7%. Just before I go any further, Jess, when we talk about a relationship with an AI chatbot, is that something similar, we'll say, to how I might converse with somebody to, you know, reference a query on Revolut, you know, or their customer service team? Is that the kind of chatbot we're talking about?
It's text-based. So if you go to, you can download the apps onto your phone, the ones I mentioned, so ChatGPT, Gemini, Copilot. You can download it, you sign into your account. And as I said, it remembers the context of your conversation. It gets to learn about you. You can ask it to send you reminders. So I did this for, I'm trying desperately to be a bit more consistent with my gym at the moment. And so I set a daily reminder on my Copilot to ask me to check in every evening how I'm feeling. And that's something that's holding me accountable. I'm finding it super useful. And it's also motivating me to go.
You could have just asked me and I do the same. I text you on WhatsApp.
But I'm then putting that obligation on you. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is something that this technology is super useful. And in the future, you might look at me like I have 10 heads now, but we're all gonna going to be using
it. It's like Google Reminders, is it?
Yeah, but it's done as if you're texting me. It's a, hey Jess, how did you get on today?
Tara Logan Buckley is a chartered clinical psychologist, Jess. Tara's with us here on the line today. Are you surprised about the 10% in romantic relationships, Tara?
I'm not actually. I thought the figure would be a little bit higher, if really? I'm honest with you. You spoke there about relationships, and there is one of the kind of, I suppose, one of the apps that's out there. It's called Replica. I'm not too sure if you've heard about it, but this is basically an AI best friend, a lover in your pocket. It can chat with you, it can flirt with you, it can vent, it can role play. And it's completely built for emotional responsiveness. And if I look at the figures of that in 2023 had reached about 10 million users. But by August of 2024, it had surpassed over 30 million users. So that is a huge expansion over a year.
Unbelievable, and I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, unbelievable. And I suppose in my own line of work, you kind of said there that it doesn't surprise you, the kind of age brackets that we're seeing are kind of those more young adults. But also what I'm seeing is a massive rise in people actually in our older adult years, people that live within rural communities, people that may be feeling isolated, people may have gone through maybe bereavement in their life or divorces, that they're really not feeling those emotional connections. And they're also, so I think we're actually going to see a big rise within those kind of older age brackets as well within the near future.
I think it's one thing though, as Jess says, you know, when you talk about maybe using it for accountability or to sound out, play out situations, but is it not a very different thing, Dara, to have a so-called romantic relationship with this?
Well, I suppose if you ask me, can people actually fall in love with an AI chatbot? The answer actually is yes. And I know for some people you may be like, this is not actually possible. But the human brain is wired for connection. And if something listens to you, it remembers your preferences, it responds, it's kind, it's warm, it remembers the things that you like to flirt with, your preferences for things. Your brain will form a bond with this, even if it's not real. It's a thing called stimulated reciprocity, and it's the illusion of mutual connection. You might have remembered, were you ever obsessed with a celebrity when you were younger? You know, think about those adolescent years, and you were completely in love with them. This is what's happening. It's the same thing. Only imagine now you had the opportunity for, let's say, Bon Jon Jovi, whatever his name is, let's say, he was to be able to talk back to you. Imagine having that at that young age. You are still going to be able to form a connection with it, because we create a world of fantasy as well. But actually what's happening here is that now we have these AI chatbots able to actually talk back to us. And we haven't had that before.
So you
and
can...
Like, when we even,
So I'm sorry, am I right, Jess, in thinking that, like, you can give your ChatGPT friend, like, can you give it an image and kind of have a, you know, kind of take on somebody else's accent or voice?
Do you know
or?
What I could do? I've just been scanning through there now.
Oh God, this scares the life out of me, by the way. Go on.
I could download our entire WhatsApp history. We've been friends for, what, 12 or 13 years now?
Don't ever do that.
I could download it, I could upload it, and I could say... can you adapt the persona of Andrea? Drop a few Wilds and Westlife references in every now and then and chat to me every day.
You replace me with an AI
chatbot. You're very
chatbot.
Replaceable. That's wild. Yeah. That's wild. Westlife. And then it's done. But the thing is, it'll learn your turns of phrase. It'll learn that sometimes you, like, you might misspell a certain word, or your grammar, you might use exclamation points. It'll learn from what I give it. And then I can interact with ChatGPT as if it's you.
But when you're talking about the relationship side of this, Tara, like, surely relationships are based around emotion and feelings and the physical element of it. I mean, how are the 10% of Irish people who've been in a romantic relationship with an AI bot, how are they getting that from this?
Well, I suppose what we're doing there is it's connection. People are craving connection. But for some people, let's think about, they want, they don't want the messiness of that human interactions. If we think about, like, you know, if we've got those age bracket where dating is a really difficult thing, they don't want to meet people online. And when they do, they get ghosted and all of the stuff that comes with that. They want something that is emotionally safe. It's available 24/7. It's completely non-judgmental. And if we think about it, if you're overwhelmed, if you're lonely, you're anxious, maybe you're someone with neurodivergent where, you know, small talk and social interaction is quite difficult for you. AI gives you all of that. So as you said, for a lot of people, people can give themselves physical connection, or obviously AI, the world of AI now, which is even getting, I suppose, even stranger again, is, you know, you can connect AI to virtual reality and, you know, pleasure and all of that comes with that. But when we're talking about the connection of a relationship, which for a lot of people is actually It's the 24/7 availability. It's the emotion of being safe with someone. AI is giving someone that.
Am I the only person who thinks that thinks this is bonkers?
No, but can I tell you why? Because you are, I say this about you all the time, you are the Pied Piper. You walk into an empty room and come out with 50 friends. You are a people person and you thrive on connection
and
all the rest.
On air.
No, but you are. That's whereas I'm the exact opposite. I would go 3 months without talking to a single soul if I could. What I need from friendships, the reason you and I are such good friends is because I can tell you anything and I can trust you and I can just get everything from my brain out into you. It's very hard for someone like me to find someone like you who's willing to listen to all that that I can trust and rely on. If there are people out there like me, I can see them turning to services like this to be the vault, to be the source of support.
Yeah.
And I also think that we need to normalize it and also have conversations like this where people say, do you know what, I actually do get good connection from interacting with something. I know it's not normal, it's not ideal, but maybe there's stuff and people in my life who can support me and encourage me to have these interactions face to face or with actual people.
I'd love to chat to somebody today who, like exactly Jess, your example, who, you know, maybe has used AI chatbots for romantic relationships. We'd love to hear your story. If you're happy to share it with us, you can get me 087 1400 106, the WhatsApp number. Another listener here says, you know, it does sound a little bit weird, all right, but 20 years ago, if you heard somebody met a partner online, you would have said that was weird too, Andrea. The world has changed. It's moved on.
Do you know the one area that I don't like about this? And this is the only side of it that I would find very strange. There are applications in the US in particular where people are uploading, again, messages, photos, voice notes and all the rest of loved ones who've passed away. And they're recreating digital versions of them.
Right.
And grief is already incredibly complex. There's an episode of Black Mirror that kind of deals with elements of this where you're kind of bringing the person back in a digital version, which can't be healthy and can't be good. It shows the capability of the technology. And what I would say is, although this all sounds mad, there's definitely a need and a space for it. And I think conversations like this are, they should be welcomed and I think it should be normalised to a certain extent.
Yeah, well look, fair play to you both for coming in and doing that today with us. Our own tech correspondent, Jess Kelly, Tara Logan Buckley, Chartered Clinical Psychologist. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.